Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy you're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, March the 7th. So do you like to catch a Friday night fish fry at a local bar or restaurant in your community? Where is your favorite place to go and why? What is it about the fish fry there that keeps bringing you back? We will welcome your nominations for Friday Fish Fry Favorites this hour as we talk about the history, the tradition, the appeal, the cultural phenomenon of the fish fry with our guest expert this hour. She's a professor of folklore who will be lecturing on this tonight at the Wisconsin Historical Museum. And we will welcome your questions for her, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We'll talk about who invented the fish fry and how it became so prominent in Wisconsin. You might be surprised. Janet Gilmore is an assistant professor of landscape architecture and also is in the folklore program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She'll be giving this lecture on the history and the cultural phenomenon of the Wisconsin fish fry tonight at the Wisconsin Historical Museum in Madison, and we'll give a little bit more information about that as we go along. Professor Gilmore, good morning.
Good morning.
So is this just an excuse to eat a fish fry on a Wednesday night? You will be serving fish, or there will be fish served tonight.
Yeah. Right. Monica Harrison, who is an extraordinarily efficient and energetic and interesting person who works at the State Historical, the Wisconsin Historical Museum, mm-hmm. does their special programming for them, and she likes to put on these lecture and meal series. And the first time I participated in one of these was in connection with the Icon Wisconsin exhibit, which maybe many got to see. So she did a Taste of Wisconsin series. So that's what this is again. She's starting up a new series here.
Well, it's certainly going to be a popular one, I think. The fish fry really is a phenomenon in Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Although people in adjacent states complain bitterly that Wisconsin isn't the only state that has this tradition.
Probably not. That's right. Yeah. I always presume that the Friday night fish fry had something to do with Lent and Catholics eating fish on Fridays. Does it?
Well, yes, it does. And then also there's more to it than that. Mm. And trying to track this tradition back in Wisconsin is proving to be very, very complex because it involves so many different traditions and historical events. And so that's not the only reason mm-hmm. that there's a Friday night fish fry tradition in the state. And I think that one thing for people to think about is well, the religious religious food laws of Catholics in particular require that they sacrifice sacrifice before 1966 and not eat meat on Fridays, and instead the kind of meat they could eat would be fish. And then during Lent, the 40 days of Lent, they're supposed to give up meat, so then there's increased consumption of fish. There are other traditions around that have contributed to making this a year-round Friday night going out to eat tradition that everyone in the state participates in or knows that they can participate in, whether they have any religious interest or not. In fact, I think there's a pretty good case to be made for there not being much religious attachment at all to this event anymore.
In fact, my dad was a bartender in northern Wisconsin way before he was my dad, at little bars in places like Niagara, Wisconsin, near the Upper Peninsula border.
Mm-hmm.
And he... and there were there, by the way, a lot of quite a few Italian immigrants like him. He told me that the Friday night fish fry was created to get people into the bars. The money wasn't necessarily in the fish fry. But it was to get business at the tavern hosting the
well,
fish
fry.
Well,
that's what I've been told, too, by in interviews of fishing people who are in fish marketing and distribution, and particularly Jim Merrick in Green Bay had said that his family, which had been fishing for several generations in that area and still is fishing and had gotten into the tavern and restaurant business, he said that his dad had, and people in the Green Bay area, had actually started having Friday night fish fries to bring people back to taverns after Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that in Wisconsin, this year-round Friday night tradition, it looks like its roots, as we know it, really are post-Prohibition. But if you start looking back farther, there's this free lunch tradition that originated in taverns in the late 1800s, particularly in Chicago. And it was the tavern, actually, they weren't even called taverns back then. They were called saloons.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of anti-saloon politics going on. But the saloons were very important to the cultural fabric and to immigrant communities in the Midwest, and so there were a lot of them, and there was a lot of competition between them, and this one fellow started what was called a free lunch. He offered oysters with free oysters with his booze, and that started off a competition, and there's documentation of these so-called free lunches that are extravagant, that the tavern keepers could actually lose money on them. So the idea would be is that you attract through advertising or through word of mouth people to your tavern because you can offer the most spectacular spread of food.
Sorry, that tradition isn't with us anymore.
No, well,
maybe a little bit with happy hours and such.
It was outlawed.
Oh.
And I think this is another part of the historical record that if I can't get, I don't think I'm going to be able to get to the bottom of every one of these threads. But there's a lot of really extraordinary history to this. And so taverns were so much part of the social life, politicians knew they could find people there and stump for office. And so there became a connection with these free lunches, selling votes, and so they outlawed them in Wisconsin in the 30s.
Well, we're the clean state we are. We have to check the weather, and then we'll talk more about the history, the tradition, the popularity, and why not the future of the Friday night fish fry in Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's just about 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, March the 7th. This afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben will talk with the leader of the Freedom Writers Foundation, a nonprofit organization for disadvantaged students in classrooms across the country. That's coming up, At Issue with Ben Marins, after 5 this afternoon. We are talking about the cultural phenomenon of the Wisconsin Friday night fish fry. Our guest is a professor of folklore, and she has researched the history, the roots, the tradition, the popularity of the fish fry. And we're going to take, if you want to give them to us, your favorite place to go for a Friday night fish fry. And tell us what's so special about it, too. Why do you like that particular fish fry the best? Now, our guest is not going to be able to, agree or disagree with your suggestions and isn't here to necessarily give us the best places to go. But you can tell us where you like to go. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Where do you go for Friday fish and why. And we will post your suggestions on our website after the program. We'll also post more information on the event tonight that our guest is taking part in. She is going to be giving a lecture on the history of the Wisconsin fish fry tonight at the State Historical Museum in Madison. It's going to be at 6:30. Doors open at 6:30. The event begins at 7 o'clock. There is a charge because not only will you get this lecture, but you will also get a fish fry catered by Crandall's in Madison. $16 for members of the Wisconsin Historical Society, $20 for non-members. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number to ask a question about the fish fry or to give us your nomination for a great place to go, your suggestion for a great place to go. And here's a question for you, too. When I was growing up in the Fox River Valley in Appleton, when we would have fish on Fridays or when my dad would even make fish at home, he made a pretty good fish fry at home, by the way, we would always dip our French fries in tartar sauce, not ketchup. Was that just a Fox Valley thing? I don't, are you a tartar sauce expert too, Professor Gilmore?
No, I'm not. And I think one of the things that I have trouble with when I go around the state to give this talk, which I have done for the Wisconsin Humanities Council Speakers Bureau, is that for some strange reason, people expect me to know about their favorite fish fry and all of the traditions. And I think what I have found is that while we might in our minds have a mental picture of what the standard fish fry is and what, you know, what the appropriate behavior is for consuming the food or even going to your favorite place, the experiences around the state are quite diverse, and so are the offerings, and so are the kinds of venues that people go to. So it's a lot to expect somebody to know, although there are some people who spend a lot of time touring the state and checking out the fish fries. Now, something like that, whether you dip your French fries in tartar sauce, that's more of a family tradition.
Right. I'm just trying to get people, because there are people feel passionate about their Friday night fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually get to who invented the fish fry, and I'd like to do that before we get to the calls, because I'm reading here that research is crediting 16th century European Jews with inventing the fish fry.
Oh, I beg to differ, because, you know, it's the frying of food that has been around as long as there have been skillets to fry food in. Pan frying is where fried fish comes from, and fish is a food that's been required by to be consumed by Christians on Fridays for several thousand years, and fish is one of these foods that the majority of fish that populations would eat would be the kinds of fish that are rather low in status and that tend to be very plentiful and usually fairly small, and a fish tend in many cases to glut shorelines during their spawning cycles, so that makes them easier to catch. And usually, at the point that they're spawning, their flesh isn't all that. It's not in as firm a shape as it would be if they were still swimming out in deeper waters. And so, I think that fish, even aside from all of the religious connections, have come to be associated with your sort of basic staple. You know, it can be dried, pickled, salted, all sorts of things to preserve it. And so at least for people who live along shores, it's become associated with times of starvation or famine or times when you can't eat other food that's more preferable. And in fact, there are even Cree Indians in this country who figured as long as you could find a lake that had fish in it, you knew you could survive. So it's kind of it's a survival food, and mm-hmm. people have been eating fish like that for a long time. Now, when you have a food like that, that where people have some, well, when you think of anything that you eat that's a staple, and it might be, you know, as the winter goes on or something like that, and you're just down to your dried fish, could mm-hmm. be pretty boring. So frying, like with potatoes, is a pretty tasty thing to do to food. And I don't know, I would say that source is probably a contributing factor, but it's not the only one. Even in this country, with the native populations that were so, especially in this region, they were so dependent on fish, and had such an enormous fishery, they didn't have implements for pan frying fish, but they rendered fish oil out, and they rendered grease out of other meats, and they would store that, and they would use that as flavorings and seasonings for other mixtures. So, you know, there and often fish would be part of that meal as well, sometimes dried. So I think these associations between grease and fish and grease and meat are very, very ancient.
Yeah. Let me get some callers, and we have a number online. Bill in Kenosha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You're talking about dipping fries in tartar sauce. Brought back some memories. Every Friday night, we used to go to the Moose Lodge, and they would have a fish fry. And I can remember as a little kid, we eating popcorn shrimp and French fries, and mm-hmm. I'd be dipping the fries in the cocktail sauce,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, but that too, yeah.
But, my favorite restaurant for fish fries is actually in Illinois, in Zion. It's called N&T's. It's a American Thai restaurant, and they have a really fabulous fish buffet on Friday nights, and just a great assortment of fish and different things, and I just really love it. It's, you know, inexpensive.
Yeah, it's not the classic fish fry, though, as we think about it, right, Bill? It's just a buffet of all sorts of different types of fish prepared in different ways.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, they have grilled fish, they have fried fish, and, you know, they have cod and catfish and haddock, and just, you know, it's just really a really good value, and it's really delicious, you know.
It sounds good to me. And we only have a minute before a news break, Professor Gilmore, but a lot of us try to eat a little more healthy, and maybe the grilled and fish is or baked fish is better for us than that fish fry. Is there any indication that the fish fry is losing popularity?
Well, I think I don't know if I can do this in a minute's mm-hmm. time. I think the fish fry as an event is not losing popularity. Mm-hmm. I think that the preparations of fish have diversified partly because of health concerns, but also the caller mentioned the inexpensiveness and the variety and the fact that this is an ethnic restaurant. And so what has happened, this is just proof of what has happened, is that any kind of restaurant, any self-respecting restaurateur is going to try to ride this wave of Friday night popularity for fish, and they'll offer it in all different manner. And
and we will talk more about this after the news break, talking with our guest who will be giving a lecture tonight at the State Historical Museum in Madison on the history and popularity of the fish fry. Janet Gilmore is a professor of folklore at UW-Madison. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question or a place to suggest to go for a fish fry. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Wednesday, March the 7th, and we continue talking about the Friday night fish fry. We're talking about this popular Friday tradition on a Wednesday because the Wisconsin Historical Museum is hosting a lecture tonight on the history of the fish fry and the popularity, the tradition, the cultural phenomenon of the Wisconsin Friday night fish fry. Our guest will be the guest lecturer. She's a professor of folklore, and she has researched the roots of this tradition and knows a lot about fishing and fish consumption in general. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question or if you have a favorite place to go for a Friday night fish fry. We'd also like to know why. What's so special about it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Janet Gilmore is giving this lecture on the fish fry tonight at the State Historical Society in Madison. She's an assistant professor of landscape architecture and the folklore program at UW-Madison. And let's go back to the phones. John in Madison has been waiting. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I love fish, but my main concern is the safety of the fish fry, especially the all-you-can-eat fish fry. 1 in 3 men in this state and 1 in 7 women have mercury levels right at the threshold of toxicity. And we all know that mercury is a bad thing for developing nervous systems, which is why we have advisories for how many Great Lake fish women of childbearing age, women that are pregnant, and young children should eat per month. And my concern is that these fish fries will cause people to exceed these limits. And we've seen high mercury levels in fish such as tuna and farm-raised catfish. And I recently read an English report that children's intelligence seems to be improved by eating fish due to the effects of some of these essential fatty acids. But you can get omega-3 fatty acid supplementation without running this mercury risk. So how do you evaluate whether you're exceeding your limits when you go to one of these fish fries?
Well, I think that contaminants are of great concern in all of our food, for one thing. So, and I know there's been a lot of focus on fish, and particularly in the Midwest and in the Great Lakes area. And so, there are some cautions. One of the concerns is how regularly you consume fish, and if you don't go to a Friday night fish fry every single week, if you go quarterly in the year or now and then, the risk is obviously lowered. The other thing to watch for is your species of fish and knowing where your fish comes from, which I don't think a lot of people do try to determine. And there is generally a correlation with higher levels of contaminants of all kinds in fish that are larger, at higher, they eat higher on the food chain, and that are older. And so one of the guidelines really is to try to consume young, small fish. However, there's been a lot of association in this region precisely with the panfish, because that's one of the main ways in which people get mercury into their systems is through a tradition, and often a family tradition. In some cases, it's a subsistence tradition of catching your own small fish and eating them regularly in the diet. So, again, I think people need to practice consumption of fish specifically judiciously, know where their fish comes from, think about whether the fish are large fish, are they ocean fish, are they inland fish, do they eat at the top of the food chain like salmon in the Great Lakes, which I wouldn't even touch salmon in the Great Lakes to eat. I just wouldn't even think about it. They are not even in their native habitat. And they also, the larger fish will absorb, they keep contaminants in their fat. So the fatter the fish, the more contaminants or contaminant residue is kept in the fish. And so if you're going to eat fish like that, you need to try to think of methods that are either going to, get that fat off of there, or you need to trim the fat off. And it's better in some cases not even to eat certain fish that are very fatty. But again, I want to point out, well, another thing is also, exclusive consumption of fish with mercury in it. Of course, that's going to make anybody sick. It's just like the old cautions about, if you eat 4 tubes of lipstick a day, you'll get cancer. You need to be, who's going to be eating lipstick like that? That's always confounded me when I was a kid. And I think that whenever you have a balanced diet, that usually minimizes the kinds of contaminants. This is kind of the same thing with lead paint in your homes and who tends to eat it and who's most vulnerable. It's people with poorer diets. But I have to say, you know, I don't mean to be an alarmist, but just in defense of fish, I think people should be much more concerned about all of the foods that they eat, where they come from, and what kind of contamination there might be in them. And I think that, you know, the Great Lakes fish are particularly targeted, and, you know, people are scared about consuming them, and
yeah. What about, I know it probably, as you mentioned in the first half hour, it might vary from bar to bar and community to community, but does there seem to be the most popular fish for a Friday night fish fry? Is it, as I read, for instance, in Madison, cod?
Oh, cod has been a mainstay for a long time, and that, I think, there are a couple of reasons for that. I mean, one has to do with the irregular availability of more local fish, which, I mean, and you know, initially one of the reasons for having a fish fry and a free lunch of fish, for instance, is that you had fish right outside in Lake Michigan, you know, that you could capture in bounty and provide very cheaply. But as all of the effects on fish stocks occurred over the, you know, with European immigration and development practices and pressure and pollution and overfishing and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and all that kind of stuff, the fish stocks have become irregularly available, and so restaurants can't rely on them. However, this state is, you know, since the middle 1800s, has had a large Norwegian immigrant population that has this lutefisk tradition.
Oh, no.
And because of this, there has been importing of cod for lutefisk for well over 100 years. And you know, so it's not such a stretch to get through your distributors more Atlantic cod for your fish fry. And it also has this characteristic of being cheap. And unfortunately, the Atlantic cod is under extreme pressure now and is not as available as it used to be, and the price has gone up, and so a lot of taverns now are having to switch to other fish. It's not a given that you're mostly going to find cod. However, there have been some really interesting studies done that establish the fact that maybe inland taverns and restaurants tend to rely more on frozen ocean fish, but along the lake shores and in the northern resort areas, there's a tendency to rely more on to offer fresh fish from local sources to the extent possible. In some cases in the north, you're going to find more walleye and perch on the menu, but in fact, while they seem like they may be local, they actually may be from farther east in the Great Lakes or from Canadian lakes, that kind of thing.
Let me check the weather forecast, and then we'll go to a bunch of people who want to talk about their favorite place to go for a fish fry and why. And we will invite your calls about that as well, or any questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we're going to talk about two big issues in the news with our guest professor of political science, talking about the latest about the Walter Reed Medical Center scandal after 7 o'clock. And then after 7:30, we'll talk about the political implications, the fallout from the guilty verdicts in the Lewis Libby trial announced yesterday. Both of those issues coming up after 7 o'clock. We continue exploring the popularity and the history of the Friday Night Fish Fry. During this hour, our guest is giving a lecture on this tonight at the Wisconsin or the State Historical Museum, the Wisconsin Historical Museum in Madison. Janet Gilmore is a professor of folklore at UW-Madison. And let's go to the phones. Mickey and Stoughton, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
My favorite fish place is actually my mom and brother's restaurant, and it's in Genoa City, Genoa Junction, Fitzgerald's. And actually, they have a different fish tradition in Wisconsin. It's a fish boil.
Oh.
And when you have the small, it's with the small red potatoes and onions and the boiled cod. It's North Atlantic cod. And then you put butter over it, and it tastes kind of like lobster.
Yum. I know that that's a tradition I always think about with Door
mm-hmm.
County. Is that so, Mickey, is that something Genoa City does too?
Mm-hmm.
Or did they take the, do you know where, how they started that or why they started that?
Well, my dad started it because actually he had been in Door County and really enjoyed it. And they had a little small resort in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they started it. And then they bought this octagon house in Genoa City, and that's where it is at. But as a health educator, every once in a while I help out. And there are people who come through the line and ask for no butter. And then it's a pretty healthy meal because you have boiled, potatoes and onions, and the flavor's still good with the onions.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't really be poor man's lobster. That's what we used to call boiled cod with
right.
with butter. What about that, Professor Gilmore, the fish boil?
Well, that's another subject.
Yeah, I know. That's not really the Friday Night Fish Fry, right?
Well, I think that just confirms the concept that there's this fish on Friday tradition that's widespread, and that fish is now offered in lots of different guises.
Yeah.
And this is another really strong symbolic food tradition in our state that's identified with the state. I was thinking about how we identify Wisconsin with brats and beer. We think mm-hmm. about dairy and corn, and yet some of our local food traditions revolve around fish, and actually fish is a local, local phenomenon. Fish boil in particular is a really wonderful tradition that people in Door County associate with their fishing traditions, and particularly with Scandinavian immigrants. However, it's what you'd call a creolized or a syncretic tradition, in that also boiled fish, and particularly the kinds of fish that are used, the white fish and the lake trout,
yeah. mm-hmm.
The big-bodied fish that got people through the winter before Europeans came, boiling fish with very little else in it, perhaps some wild onions, was a very common way of preparing those particular fish among the native groups.
Thank you, Mickey. Next is Matt in Madison. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. Great topic.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Where's your favorite place?
Well, we'd like to go to the Big Ten Pub here in Madison, because they have a lot of different fish available on the menu, plus they have potato pancakes. That's one thing our group really likes, but
not the big steak fries, huh?
No. But we have a group that gets together every Friday night, or almost every Friday night, and as far as the health things go, we call ahead now to see if they use any oils with trans fats, since New York City banned those or will be banning those, and we try to stay away from cod and try to stay towards the more sustainable fish, so it's we've talked about starting a blog, but haven't done it yet.
No, there's a very socially conscious fish fry consumer, Professor Gilmore.
Well, I think it's important for people to consider where their fish is, mm-hmm. is from. Some of the politically correct guidelines get a little extreme, I think, at times. But I think there are these groups that that do get together, and they go out and they sample the fish here and there, and I think it's interesting, again, the comment that they serve a lot of fish. There's kind of a an enjoyment of places that may have more than one type of fish to choose, or different preparations, and now I'm losing the the other point about that, the potato pancakes, is are associated pretty strongly with Milwaukee and its German heritage, so that if you go to a fish fry in Milwaukee, there can be potato pancakes offered, which is pretty cool.
We got an email from Rick in Appleton, who happens to be an old high school friend of mine. Thanks for writing, Rick, and hello. He talked about eating fish fries growing up in Appleton, and one of the things he commented on was that they always came with buttered rye bread. And do you have any explanation as to the reasons behind or the origins of the rye bread?
Well, now, this is really interesting, and I find this particularly up around Green Bay, so Appleton's right in the in the neighborhood, and I've asked people, well, why the rye bread? Because rye bread is generally on the menu with fish fries in that area, and the explanation that some say, and others deny this, is that rye bread in particular helps clear your throat of bones if you get them. And if you consider what rye bread at least used to be, especially when immigrants came over, it's a pretty dense and fairly dry bread, and it would have that effect. And a lot of the immigrant populations in Green Bay at that time were from Northern Europe, and there was a lot of use of rye in breads. Yeah. So
let's go to Deb in Janesville. Hi, Deb.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call. My favorite place is Cherry in Janesville. They do Cherry Steak and Prime does a wonderful fish fry as well as fish bake on Friday with a variety of different fishes. And
what's your favorite and why?
I prefer the tilapia, and Brian, the owner, will do it in a variety of ways as well as a variety of toppings, from an almond bean to a salsa. You can get a variety of tastes there.
All right, Cherry's in Janesville. Thank you very much, Deb, for that. Boy, that's a lot different than the cod or the perch that I'm accustomed to, tilapia.
Well, that's again, it just substantiates the fact that that restaurateurs endorse this tradition and they use it to draw people into their restaurants on Friday nights, and there usually is the promise that the fish meal is going to be a little bit less expensive than regular fare. And for that reason, if you are interested in going to a pretty upscale restaurant, or you want to try a restaurant out that has a sort of an extraordinary culinary reputation, that this is the night to be able to go and test the wares, because you can get a fish meal that might be a little bit cheaper for you, not quite as expensive.
Yeah. When I was growing up, it was always lake perch. That was what everybody served, what my dad made. But that is because of, I don't know, the fishing in Lake Michigan and maybe pollution and population concerns. That's not necessarily the most popular fish on the menu now, is it?
I don't know if I think it's very popular. Mm-hmm. Perch, for some reason or other, is really the king of the fish fry.
Yeah.
I think it's
more
really
expensive now, maybe.
Perch, even in the 1970s, was still renowned for having really wide variation in its cycles. And so, again, it wouldn't be reliable for every restaurant, and so trying to get it would be difficult. It happens to be a nice, firm little fish, and around Green Bay, it's supposed to be very sweet. If it comes from Green Bay, the fish that comes right out of the lake and then goes right to the fish fry in that region, there's just absolutely nothing like it.
Yeah, it's great. Let me bring in a couple of other callers, because we're almost out of time. Richard and Frederick, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I called because I had read the History of Milwaukee by Robert Wells, a longtime reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book, this book is called This is Milwaukee, the city that made beer famous.
Uh-huh.
And he says that the fish fry started because the men of Milwaukee in the late 30s decided they did not want to have to buy their wives a steak on Friday night. What do you think about that?
I don't know what to think about that. This is in the 1930s?
Yeah, late 30s, early 40s, late 30s.
Well, I suppose that goes along with the fish being less expensive.
Well, it's interesting because I would have suspected that, I mean, I think that there's evidence for fish fries being around before Prohibition and being available at restaurants. And so but you know, there's so many different factors to how this got started. And Milwaukee is one of the areas where the tradition really, really seems to have taken hold. And while I can't make much more of this comment, but I appreciate this footnote, because then I can go look it up and see what I think myself and add that to the mix. I have to say that one of the things that's really been distinctive about Milwaukee, and it may be true of Green Bay as well, is that there was because of the German immigrants and Czech immigrants and some of the Northern European immigrants that were used to in their home countries of having these little neighborhood Bierstubas where you could go and drink beer and you could even bring your family and you could eat. They brought this tradition with them to Milwaukee. Yeah. And
we're out of time. I'm so sorry. It'll be we'll have to talk again about the smelt fries that one caller wanted to talk about.
Oh, man, smelt, that is one of the zaniest fisheries around.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Janet Gilmore, a folklore professor at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.